Hello and welcome to the Ashley de la Mode Show. I hope everyone's doing well. Today we're going to cover our Living with Kidney Failure Talk segment. So as I explained on the previous show, I'm dedicating part of this show to support anyone suffering from kidney failure around the world by sharing different stories that will empower and help towards the complex journey of kidney failure. Today we have a lovely lady that I met 3 years ago at one of my kidney talks. Her name is Farah and she shares a story similar to mine but on a higher level because she is the recipient of a kidney. Joining me right now is Farah.
Hi, Ashley. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad.
Good, good, good. So would you like to introduce yourself?
Okay. My name's Farah Muller. How old am I? I'm 29 years old. I was diagnosed with lupus nephritis when I was 18. And lupus has actually been positive in my body, but apparently it impacted my kidneys. So, and I've had recently had a kidney transplant. It's been 1 year now. Mm-hmm. That's about that it, really.
Oh, you're one of the lucky ones. So talk me through to how and when you found out you actually had kidney failure.
I was 18 at uni. I literally had a rash on my hand, so my thumb kept itching, and for some reason, I don't know why, I just kept going to the hospital because I said something's not right. They sent me back twice and they just said to have some sort of antibiotics or whatever. I went back again because it just was really irritating me, couldn't go, and that's when I found out I had kidney failure, because as soon as they've done a blood test, they've done a biopsy of the kidney and it showed patterns of lupus, and I was at 40% at that time. And that's when they put me on the medication, and it did stabilize at 40% for a little while. Mm-hmm. For quite some years then. But that's how I found out, literally through a rash on my thumb.
So after, when you were diagnosed with kidney failure and you were like on 40%, so you said it lasted about 10 years, but then when did it start going down?
It started, it actually went down quite rapidly, to be honest. It went down slowly within the last, I'll say, what, we're in 2020 now, so about 2017 it started going down. Mm-hmm. And then in 2018 it dramatically went down quite a bit. Quite a bit. So there wasn't a steadily like drop. There was a steady drop, but then all of a sudden it went downhill in 2018. And I was at 15%. And I got actually put on the transplant list. Didn't get a phone call or anything for about at all. Then my kidney function went down to 7%, and then I had to go on dialysis, which I went on dialysis in December.
So how was that, like going on dialysis? Was you actually frightened to get on dialysis, or how did you manage to?
I did not want to do dialysis. I thought I wanted to avoid it at all costs. If I could get a kidney transplant before then, it would be amazing. And mm-hmm. If I could stay stable, I said I'm happy with that. I wasn't too ill. Like, I mean, apart from the occasional vomiting, I'm still living. I'm still working. But I didn't want to go on dialysis at all. I avoided it at all costs. So I was still waiting. I kept trying to defer it so that anything, if I had like my sister went up for a live donor, my dad did, and it all came back as not suitable. So I had no choice to go on it. So I chose the PT rather than I did try the hemodialysis, but my fistula just didn't work twice. Ended up on PT. So yeah, cut for no reason. I don't have good veins.
You sound like me. You know, yeah. I had two fistulas fitted. The first one failed, and I'm still so upset at the fact that I've got a scar. And then the second one is actually still working, but I just refuse to use it. I feel like if I've got to be on dialysis for the next whatever years of my life, then at least I still got that vein ready. But it is quite traumatic. So did this whole experience, did it actually bother you mentally, or how did you actually manage? What kept you going?
What kept me going? Do you know what? It's funny because I'll say the only thing that kept me going was that I remember my mum used to tell me, like, once you go on dialysis, you'll feel a lot better. And apparently, I don't know if it's true or if it's a myth, but it helps me anyway, regardless, was that once you're on dialysis, the chances of you getting a kidney transplant would be a lot more. So that inspired me to say, all right, fine, like, we'll do it. Because when you think about it realistically, if there is someone that isn't on dialysis and there is someone on dialysis and we both match, who would you most give it to? The person that's on dialysis, right? Because obviously their life is a lot worse. So I thought, I kind of got that. I put that in my head a few times, and that was the goal. Like, I thought, all right, I'm on dialysis, it's more likely that I would transplant, and that is my end goal. That's where I want to reach. And that's what kept me going. I mean, it's horrible to have a tube coming out of your stomach. There's something completely new. Your whole life is changed upside down. In the morning, I can't get up and just go downstairs to the kitchen and have something to eat. I have to flush out, put more liquid in. It completely changed. But I had
talk me down to how that experience was with the dialysis, because I just started PD dialysis and I'm just not managing as yet. So talk me through, how did you go through that?
So first of all, I had to make it easier for me and to make me want to go ahead and do it, I had like a separate space where I had my dialysis, so I would have everything set up. Once everything was set up and easy for me to do, it's more like you have to do it, so you just got to get on with it. And then it got to a point where I had to make it into a routine. So to get it easier, I made it a routine. So right, every morning I'll get up, do a bag, go down and carry on with my day. I'll have some bags in the car, so if I am out, I know that I've always got supplies with me, so I didn't have to worry about rushing home or going here. I left them in my car, I left them at work, I left them even at one of my best friend's cars, just in case anything does happen. So I knew I was like ready, I was very prepared. But it was jarring at first, like there were so much little bits, you've got to change this, change that, make sure you can't touch it. The shower was the worst for me, because I was just a bit more like, oh, I need to have a shower, I can't not have a shower. But I used to just, once they told me that I can have a shower with the bandage on, I used to do it. And do you know what, you just gotta keep positive and keep that end goal in your mind. And I just done it, just made it into a routine, and that was it. Once it was part of my daily routine, before I go bed, when I wake up, during the day, it was fine. And I didn't stay at home because I'm on dialysis. If I was out, I would do it outside. It did my day to day, so my actual life itself didn't change of what I did. I just had to incorporate it in my life, so it wasn't going to like take over it. And I think that's important for everyone to do, because like when people think, all right, cool, you're on dialysis, you know, you've got to be at home, so you've got to make sure you do it, you have to learn how to do it in every situation. And I did. I even went to Amsterdam with my bags in the car, and I used to do it in the car. No, seriously, I did it in the car.
Yeah,
you can hang it up on your little in the car door,
yeah,
and do it. And I thought, and that kept me going, because I was like, if I just stayed at home and felt depressed and felt sorry for myself, I won't ever succeed. It'll just make me even more sick. So I just made sure that I did it. I prepared my car, I prepared my friend's cars, I prepared so that wherever I am, even if I'm in a restaurant, I will be able to do it. So
wow, that's like really inspiring, definitely.
Yeah,
I'm hold that thought right there. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to continue this conversation.
Okay.
and I'm with Becca Farah.
Hi.
So before we got on the break, you were talking about basically preparing mentally and physically for this new lifestyle on dialysis, and basically what you were saying is not to let your condition basically define you and your lifestyle. So then the dialysis, how did you come about to get the phone call for your kidney?
I was at lunch with my family, and we had good news about my sister had good news, so we all went out for lunch. But as you know, being on dialysis, you're not the most cheerful person when somebody else gets good news, because you're like, you are kind of miserable deep down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was just not with it. My tube wasn't working, it just wasn't flushing out. I was like, I'm going home because I need to take out this fluid. I looked like I was like 9 months pregnant, and it was just, my mood was so down. Anyway, driving along the road, I was in Hackney, driving, got the phone call now, and it was one of my doctors. And to be honest, my doctors ring me all the time, so I didn't think nothing of it. It was the same number from the hospital, same doctor. So I was like, oh, what is it now? And he was like, there's a kidney here, the man is 30 years old, he hasn't got any, you know, abnormalities, hasn't got any illnesses, he's just had some sort of crash, I'm not too sure, and a head injury, and would I be interested? So when he was saying, I really couldn't take it in, Ashley, like, I fully couldn't take it, I was just like, what are you telling me? I was like, are you offering me a kidney? Like, what is this conversation? I'd rather him be a bit more blunt, but he wasn't. So I was like, he was like, would you be able to come to the hospital? So I said, yeah. I still didn't get it, but I was like, does this mean I got a kidney? He was like, well, we'll see. So I said, no problem, I'll be there in a heartbeat. I cried, and I had a panic attack in the car to the point where I had to pull up. And I pulled up, and I was like, I called my mom straight away, and I was like crying hysterically. And I was like, oh, mom, I think they've got a kidney for me. So she's crying now. I left them all at the restaurant, so they all come back to the house now. I've got in the shower, and I was trying to drain myself out, but the drain was not working. So even when I got the phone call, the drain wasn't working, so I'm still stuck with all this fluid in me. At that point I didn't care. I closed it, changed it, went to the hospital, still in a panic. And then they said to me how the man is still alive. That shocked me. I was like, what? He was like, the man is still alive. I said, well, you know what, do your best to save him. What can I say? I was like, do your best to save him. Like, I mean, if it's not meant for me, it's not meant for me. And then I went to the waiting room. They put you into like a waiting room. I went to the waiting room, and there was other people there. And I was thinking, well, I hope are these people here waiting for the same kidney, or what is it? But apparently I was the only one waiting kidney. But it's like there have been situations where you all could be waiting in a waiting room, and you're all waiting for that one kidney, and whoever's best match gets it. And I mean, that's horrible.
Yeah, that is.
But luckily I was just the only person, and they still didn't get back to me. But they made me stay the night, and done all the bloods, done all the scans, just in case it was going to happen. So even in that stage, after all of that, you can get sent home if there's a damage to the kidney, or the kidney isn't that great.
Yeah.
So went to sleep, still didn't know if I was getting it done. Then 7 o'clock in the morning, that anesthetic person came down to do my signature to get authorization, and I thought, yep, that's it. Called my mum and dad, they quickly came down, and I think that the professor came to see me, and the doctors came to see me. They just discussed it. They ask you a few questions about, so you can ask questions to them. So you can ask them questions like, what did he die of? Does he have any illnesses? Is what's his age? They won't give you any information about, you know, him or her personally, but you can ask questions regarding their health and whether you even want to take the kidney. So at the end, you actually have to say, like, you have to give your approval that, you know, you do want it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they prepped me for surgery. I still had the tube in my stomach with all the fluid in, actually. I didn't even take it out. And I don't know where that fluid's gone now, but it's gone. And that was it. Went down for surgery. Woke up a new, literally I woke up a new person.
So how did you feel, literally, waking up with a new kidney? Did you feel
the minute I woke up from that general anaesthetic, my mum said the first question I asked was, is it working? And she said, yeah. Literally, the first question I asked, I said, is it working? Because I was like, I'm not going through all of that, and I didn't get it. Anyway, yeah. She said, yeah, and I think I went back to sleep again. And I woke up, and all I remember was that there was so much wee. And I used to wee anyway. So I didn't have a problem with urine. So yeah. This was more excessive. I had a constant feeling of wanting to go wee, and it was like loads of wee coming out. So clearly there was so much toxins coming out at one time. So you can actually feel your body working. I can't even explain, but you feel a lot better. And obviously you're still on medication, etc. But yeah, it's an unreal feeling. You don't feel like, even now I don't feel like I've got like somebody else's kidney in me. It just feels like my own body. But it is surreal.
How about the medication then? How are you managing that?
I hate it.
Is it like second nature for you to just take this tablet?
It is a second. It's fine. I'm always used to taking tablets, but they obviously add another immunosuppressant, and that can have a lot of bad side effects. Like I think they at the beginning it was fine. You're just thinking it's a normal tablet, but then you start losing your hair, your skin might change. So I got a bit of acne. My hair fell out. I cut all my hair off because it was that bad. But then it does apparently like slow down, and like I say, it has stopped. Like it's not falling out as much as it used to, and my skin. It's the initial stage of your body actually getting used to these tablets. But once you get used to it, and it is a hard push, because that period I just felt depressed, because I was like, realistically, I've got a new kidney, but I've got so much other problems. And it's like, I know these problems are minor compared to your actual life, but it still bugged me. And I mean, everybody's different, but that bugged me a lot.
But, yeah,
especially my hair, that bugged me a lot. It's like you're literally going for chemotherapy in the beginning, like your hair just dropping out. But it does slow down. It does stop. I wouldn't say stop, but it does slow down. It does get better. And I had to go through that period where I didn't have a lot of people to actually even contact or talk to that's had a transplant or have had that same symptoms. So for me, I was dealing with it by myself, and I was just like, oh, I can't deal with it. And there was no encouragement to say, look, there is going to be an end goal and it will stop. But now I can be that person to tell other people that them symptoms will stop and you will get through it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you just got to be extra careful, I suppose. I mean, steroids, your weight gain, your weight gain goes up dramatically. And it's only because when you do have kidney failure, your muscles actually deteriorate. So you, don't know if you don't, you must feel it as well. Like, you don't have a lot of muscle mass.
No, I don't.
I know when I had kidney failure, if you looked at my calf, they were just flabby because there was no muscle.
Yeah.
And, they were like, how the reason why you feel like you're putting on weight is because your body is actually repairing itself. So you're now building your muscle mass. It's now building, like, it's basically your weight gain before transplant is when you was ill. Now you are normal, kind of normal again, and that's your weight. So it makes a bit more sense why you put on weight. But obviously when you're on steroids, you've got to be careful with what you eat, etc. And the hunger is real. Like you're constantly just hungry, but that does go down as well. So like the steroids go down, like within a month it goes down. So it's not that bad. The steroids are not that bad, but the medication differs as well. So like 1 minute you could be on 2.5, and then the next month you could be on 2. It's just it varies. And once your body gets to that point where you're going to be on 1.5 for a little while when it's stable, then it's, you know, it's fine. It's just a lot of chopping changes in the beginning, and then it does start 1 year and you're done.
Yeah, 1 year.
1 year and you're done. I mean, like, it's worth it, because like dialysis takes so much of your day.
It does.
It does.
It does, and it really does affect you mentally as well. It does. It does.
But always it's keep, a whole always lifestyle keep that change. To your head. Like, when you're on that, when you're doing dialysis, your chances of your kidney transplant will be higher, and always remember that.
Yeah, that's definitely a positive message. Also, one of the doctors said to me, because my biggest fear was I don't want to be forgotten on dialysis.
Mm.
And she said, well, actually, you won't be forgotten because you're too expensive for us right now.
Yeah.
And you look at it and I'm like, okay, my dialysis machine's at home. I'm pretty sure that's expensive. All the help they're giving us with like bringing all the boxes to the house.
Oh, they won't forget you, trust me. Especially when you're on peritoneal dialysis, because you see them all the time. Like, I remember going to the hospital for being swollen or something wasn't right. They used to see me every day. They never forgot.
Yeah, they won't forget.
Yeah.
So you've given a lot of advice, but can you share like another specific advice of how to actually deal with this whole kidney failure ordeal? Because if you think about it, even though you get a transplant,
it's not a cure.
It's not a cure. And it's something that you might have for the next 10, 15, maybe 20 years.
Yeah.
However, you know, we're praying for long life.
I do think that, like, one of the things that I believe in anyway, I mean, like, not everyone takes this, but listen to your own body. Like, the hospital can turn around and say this or that, but it's a general advice that they give to everybody. You yourself have to take control as well and think, right, what, and if you feel like you don't need this medication, or you feel like this works for you better, you need to be proactive and say to the doctors, because otherwise they won't. Yeah. Otherwise you'll be one of the statistics that they have. I mean, that they have so much people that they have to look after. You're just one.
Exactly. And this is my experience as well, because that's, you have to talk, you have to express yourself, you have to,
but there's so much people that won't. They'll just listen to the doctors and that's it. But you have to remember, they're giving this general advice to everyone, and everyone's body is different. It's like, you could be, for example, like, if you're taller and bigger, you might need more medication, whereas if someone's smaller, the amount that medication is pumped into you might be unnecessary. You might feel like you don't need that. Like, that the steroids dosage is a 5 milligram for everybody, but that's for everybody. That might not necessarily be for you. So listen to your body. If you feel like you need to change something, suggest it, and actually like proper go ahead and do it if you have to. Obviously, you're not harming yourself, but listen to
Try what your body can accept and not, because it's true.
Healthy living, like, it's such a plus. Like, if you have to keep proactive, we're fair enough, our immune system is suppressed, but there's so much things you can have, like sea moss. Like, I always put that in my food and my juices. I always use sea moss. I always have like a turmeric tea or a turmeric milk. And like, they're just certain things that can help you. Because, like, even though I'm immunosuppressed, I don't really get colds or anything. That's because of the things that I implement in my diet.
Before we cut out, you were talking about certain food supplements that you
like sea moss that I used to add into my diet, turmeric tea.
Yeah.
It's just loads of stuff like that. I used to have a lot of dandelion roots tea, so I used to buy it and drink it. And also, especially for females, like, you gotta believe that, like, even though you have a tube coming out your stomach, you have to like make it work for you and be confident with it and be sexy with it. Like, it doesn't stop from nothing. Like, it doesn't. It's just a little. How can I put it? It's a little accessory that you have now.
Yeah.
And you have to find that confidence and build on it.
Yeah.
Because that was one of my concerns, is like, how am I gonna be with like part of the time, or with a tube coming out my stomach? It was like, oh, I can't do this. And I was like, that used to be my number one fear. It's like, oh my god, like, how will it look and how would it be? And you've got to find that confidence from somewhere, and you've got to, once you embrace it and acknowledge it, you will find it. You just have to embrace it.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it is hard, like, especially like if you are gonna, like, if you are with someone and you've now got a tube in your stomach, it's gonna play a big impact on either, like, your relationship, your sexual relationships. Hello.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there, but yeah, so you were talking about how
the
relationship
meaning like the tube itself, like dialysis itself, can impact on your confidence and your self-confidence. Yeah. And that's one of the biggest I think maybe for males as well, I'm not too sure, but like it's one of the biggest concerns and worries that everybody on dialysis has, like even when it comes to hemodialysis, how that can change your arm. It's frightening. I've seen pictures.
It's very frightening. Yep.
Frightening. Like even the tube, for example, you might think, oh, like who? Like the self confidence is really like it's, and I don't think they have enough classes or anything when it comes to self confidence whilst in dialysis, because it's so important to embrace it and feel confident with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it can get you down, and I think that was one of my biggest worries while on dialysis, is how am I going to feel with this tube? Am I going to be confident? Would I still feel like I'm sexy? Would I still feel like I'm a woman? Like it's hard.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, because I've been thinking like that as well.
Yeah,
but it does cross your mind, and I feel like I'm not fully confident with it as yet. I'm trying to deal with it, but. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'll let you guys know when I actually get to that confidence stage. But
do you know, like I told you, I feel like the clear pores worked a lot more for me, because it didn't look so white and padded, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So there are little things you can do, like how you place the end. You know, the end bit is quite thick.
Yeah.
So I had to kind of place it underneath my kind of stomach.
Okay.
So it kind of is. It then when you do wear something, it's very flat.
Yeah.
So there are things you can do, and another thing is it's just to face it head on. So like for me, the part that I was seeing at the time, I used to like show him it. He luckily for me, it wasn't an issue for him. He was like, okay, like he embraced it, and I had to do my dialysis in front of them, so that they know how it works. They know that it's not painful for me. It doesn't affect me in that way. I embrace it, and I felt a lot more confident by just tackling it head on.
Yeah.
And I know that's what helped me a lot. And how, like, there's loads of other ways, like how you can cover it, how you can, like, there's a few little bits you can do to help, but self-confidence is like one of the biggest things when dialysis.
Yeah, no, definitely. And talking about that, definitely give me an idea to definitely do some sort of YouTube videos where we could actually show people different ways and how to actually adjust.
Yeah, so I can where I used to place it underneath my stomach, so like there wasn't such a big bulge.
Yeah. So that bothers me with my clothes. I really try my best, and obviously I've got to find comfortable clothing as well. It's really hard to wear the tight jeans now, so it's
high-waisted. Wear high-waisted stretchy ones. They're best, and when you do wear them, make sure that the bottom of that tube is placed underneath your stomach, so it doesn't bulge out. There's so much ways you can do it.
Definitely.
I even know somebody that has it hanging down their leg, so when they wear jeans, it's like on the side of their leg.
Oof,
I can't do that yet.
Scary.
I never did that, but you know, I have seen it.
That to me sounds so scary, because when I'm trying to clean it and it hangs, I feel like it's hanging out and it hurts. So I'm like, I couldn't even try that.
I don't even do. Mine can stay underneath my little pouch that I have, so it can stay there. It can stay underneath my stomach.
No, seriously. So before we go, like, is there anything that you've done differently since you've had your transplant? Like, have you done, like, I know we're on a lockdown right now, but have you done any traveling or anything interesting?
Yeah, so when I was on dialysis, obviously you can't travel anywhere. I mean, you can, but like we couldn't go in the sea, you can't go in the pool, you can't even have a bloody bath, but you're not supposed to travel. until you are 1 year cleared.
Yeah.
However, because I didn't have any problems, and like I said, you listen to your body. If you feel like you are not ready, do not go. But I felt like I was fit enough to go, and I kept doing a lot of exercise in the meantime. And I went to I traveled around Thailand and then traveled around the Philippines, and we've done so much, like hiking, so much mountain climbing, so loads of stuff, like swimming in the ocean and stuff that you can't, like, you take for granted. And I enjoyed it so much because now I can do it. I was so free.
But, that's
yeah, like, it was so, like, jumping into, like, just waterfalls alone, it's just such a happy feeling, because you couldn't do it. But they, like I said, just listen to your body, though. If you feel like you're not up for it right now, everybody has their different strengths and weaknesses, and everybody deals with everything differently. So just because somebody's going away after 6 months doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. Just sometimes different bodies can heal differently.
Yeah.
And, like, you're, like, for example, like, mine and your situation when it comes to dialysis, you're finding it quite hard, whereas I found it quite easy. But everybody goes through it. Like, it's different for everyone, to be honest. But I like I said, your mindset and making your mind stronger will help you with everything else. Once, like, you have to believe and really think, and positive thinking gets you far. It does actually get you far. I did yoga, and I started yoga, and that's helped me a lot with my mind, and, like, seeing things in a positive, like, yoga helped me a lot. It stretched me out. But honestly, when you're in dialysis, you're so limited, you can't really do much, but you can still go for walks. I used to still go out, like I said, like, just don't root, like, I used to go even, just make sure you stay protected, you cover up properly, like, so there's no infections, you put like the clear pores on properly, and do carry on as normal. There is just additional, there's just a few little bits extra that you have to do in the day, and it doesn't take long. But don't think, right, I've got to be at home for this time. Okay, no, I've got to be at home for that. You don't have to. You just have to be proactive, prepare, and think ahead. Think of ahead.
Yeah.
And you can go on holiday. There's so much, they can actually send your boxes and all your little accessories to your destination. So if you give the hospital enough time and the hotel name, they can send it there. So don't, like I said, if you're on dialysis, do not let that stop you from doing anything. It's not meant to stop you. It's just meant to make you feel better. And if you've got that in your head, you'll go far.
Yeah, fantastic. Oh my gosh, thank you so much for your time and for your story. Really inspiring.
And I'm hoping you get a transplant soon.
Yes, me too. Yes, me too. You know,
transport and eat as much as you can right now, because the weight won't even, you can eat as much and indulge in whatever, and you won't even put on weight. So just make the most of it, I'm telling you.
I will
make the most of it.
I will, definitely. Thank you so much. Do you want to give your social media handle for anyone to find you, or
fine. It's Farah, FARAH_MULLA_X, but I'm sure actually you'll put it up somewhere, so
yes, I will. Fantastic, thank you so much for your time. Okay, we'll fix it. Thanks.
Bye. All right, thank you, Ashley. Bye.
There you have it, the lovely Farah. I really, really enjoyed her story. I think it was really inspirational. I really liked the fact that I could hear from her point of view how she found out about having kidney failure, how she managed during dialysis. You know, I really liked the fact that she made it into her own, and she didn't let it get to her where she became, unable to do just to have a daily routine, you know. It was just really nice to hear that she kept going, she traveled, she continued working, you know, she made it for herself, and that's what it's about. We can't be allowing our conditions to define us. It's beautiful to hear how she received her kidney. I've got a lot of hope listening to her story, because I'm still waiting for a kidney, and I'm sure a lot of you are. But this goes to show that there is light at the end of the tunnel. It goes to show that there is hope as well. And when we all get our kidney, we'll be able to travel around the world just like she does, and we'll be able to share our stories. And I just want to say, guys, keep having hope. And if you have any questions, email me, ashley@ashleydelamotte.com. And you heard where you can find Farah, so if you need to ask her any questions and stuff, then you can send her messages in your DM. But until then, please continue to have hope and take care. Until next time.